Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I am your host. My name is Vinny, and joining me in studio, it's Jordan Rock. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, friends, drink responsibly, do good things, and always be kind. And now, let's start the show. Good morning to everyone watching us live on Facebook and YouTube. For those of you who are listening on your podcast platform of choice, thank you so much for finding us. Please remember to rate and review. I got a great guest this morning. My guest is a comedian. He's an actor. You may know him from his many film roles, as well as his performance as Kevin on the hit Netflix show Love, as well as his appearances on Pete Davidson Presents The Best Friends. He's performing four more shows this weekend here at Comedy at the Carlson. I'm glad to welcome to the studio Jordan Rock. I got to see your show last night, Jordan. Let's start there. I came and watched your Thursday night show here at the Carlson. Great stuff, man.
Thank you.
I really appreciate one particular aspect of you, and I like how you bragged about not being depressed. That is a real refreshing change of pace from a lot of comedians.
Bro, it is. This is the thing. I'm not the happiest dude. I just don't think I'm not clinically depressed. Yeah. And nothing turns people off more than being in a good space in life. Nothing just alienates you from the rest of your friends than just not having, a prescription.
Sure. I feel like, especially in circles of comedians.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It makes it hard to relate, just generally being a happy guy.
It really, you know what it is? It's like I said, it's not that I'm the happiest. It's like sometimes I think I'm depressed, then I go hang out with other depressed people, and I'm like, oh, I just need to figure out how I'm going to pay this rent. Like, you know, I realize there's different levels. Like, you want to end it all, I just really would like $500 more.
Sure.
Actually, you know what's crazy? I've actually never been sad with $6,000 in my pocket. Like, there's a correlation between like my happiness and the money I have in the bank, for sure.
Okay. Well, folks, I want to remind you that the voicemail line and the text line is open, 585-484-0265. I'm gonna give away a couple pairs of tickets to see Jordan Rock this weekend, so yeah. Submit your questions, make sure you leave your name, and we will text you back with the show that you can attend this weekend. We'll probably let you pick. We're in a good mood today.
Yeah, come.
They're going to be here, Jordan.
Yeah.
They're coming.
I need to see what Rochester looks like. I was going to go out yesterday, but I got faded here.
Yeah. I say the Thursday night in Rochester is the sleepiest night of the week.
Saturday. Made the right choice. I think I did. I didn't need to go outside and see what was there.
Yeah, the only exciting place to go to on a Thursday in Rochester is like Wegmans. Like the supermarket. It's really not that fantastic.
Yeah, this place I've heard about this place my whole life. I grew up in South Carolina. Everybody in South Carolina all my mom's friends were like, yo, we're from New York. And then you ask them where, and they're like, Rochester. We used to work for Kodak.
You know, it's true. They're all over the country. I've traveled a lot myself. I lived in Texas for a while. And whenever I went, people would say, hey, your name's Vinny. Where are you from? I go, New York. And they go, which part? And I never wanted to admit it.
Because, like, as soon as you say Rochester, you lose rank in other people's eyes, right? Because this is a great place. You can
go. The sixth borough. It's Rochester.
Yeah, you say New York, people are like, oh, my God. Please don't ask any follow-up questions.
One guy I'll never forget in Texas is like, you ever been mugged? And I was like, oh, yeah, all the time in Rochester. Just real trouble in Rochester.
Muggers. Man, mugging. Yeah, like people just get robbed in the thousands.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about your stand-up performances and your appreciation for stand-up. I saw a quote from you that I thought was really interesting, and I kind of want to get a little bit more in-depth on it. You said that you found your purpose in comedy, but you're still looking to find your purpose for comedy. What did you mean by that?
This comedy gave me purpose, but now I have to find my purpose within comedy.
Okay.
Gave me an identity as, you know, it gave me a craft of something that I wanted to be in. It gave me an identity to where I could say, oh man, I'm a comic. But now I'm inside of comedy. You know, I'm in this business. And now I'm realizing that, you know, the stage and being the funniest is not the end all be all. It's about what you actually want to say. What do you actually want to have within all of these jokes? So I'm trying to figure that out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like I really respect that approach to it.
Yeah, it's I'm trying to, how to articulate it? Yeah, it's so many people are approaching it as in just wanting to be the funniest. When you're in New York, you're trying to be the funniest comic. In L.A., New York, people are just going on stage like bam, 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 bam. They just want to tell the funniest jokes, get the most laughs. And I'm at a point right now that if I just tell the jokes that I know work and I just get the most laughs, I'll get off stage and still be like, nah, that just didn't feel good.
Yeah.
So I'm always, even I'll always try to do something new or move it down or try to be current as opposed to, you know, I have a joke that was working good 5 years ago and I'm still telling that joke.
Yeah.
I'm usually always trying to move down and grow, and I'm learning how to be transparent. Like, I don't really want to write like the best joke. I kind of want to write the most true joke to me.
Sure.
Or the only joke that I like telling jokes that only I can tell.
There you go. Now that's an interesting concept, because a lot of people think a joke is a joke is a joke, but no, to make a joke really truthful and to make a joke really your own, you have to be the one to tell it.
Yes.
And, interesting.
Yeah. And just changing my relationship with the audience now. I'm trying to change my relationship. I'm finally in a place where when I get up on stage, I don't feel like I'm showcasing.
Okay.
Like, I don't get on stage with the, like me. Please like me, guys. Like, bring me back. Book me more. I don't really have that. It's the first time I don't feel that.
Now, tell me if I'm wrong. The vibe that I'm kind of getting, now I sat in the back of the room yesterday, was, hey, folks, we're all in this together. Let's go.
Yes.
Was kind of the vibe I was getting.
Yes. I'm trying to walk the middle of it a little bit. I don't want to be too political. I don't want to be too, I want to be political, current, edgy, but I don't want to pick sides. I feel like when you're picking sides, you're kind of just being too preachy. You can be saying the same thing that everybody else is saying, but if you just have like, can walk the middle and give people a slight, just a little, you just want to tilt their observation a little bit. That's all I want to do.
I appreciate that approach, because when you get overly political as a comic, obviously the crowd's probably 50-50. You know, some people are conservative, some people are liberal. So who knows?
Yeah.
So you come to this point where if you decide you want to get out what you believe your point is, you risk alienating 50% of the people that paid money for a ticket to see you.
Yeah.
So I respect that you're trying to figure out how to include everything, but also get out your truth to make people think.
Yes.
I really like that, man.
Yeah. You just said, yeah, like the way people approach comedy is insane, of being too preachy. I remember, I'll never forget, like when I was going to LA for the first time and meeting with agents, I remember someone said, a comic, they were like, yeah, comics go on stage and they're doing a 7-minute set, but they're trying to make like a political statement.
It's like a campaign speech.
Yeah, and they're like, bro, can we just meet you? Like, who are you, man? Like, all right, you feel this way about Trump, but who are you?
Sure, sure. You know, the best political jokes, in my opinion, were always about overall ideas, not about politicians or someone or attacking a party or a belief structure. It's more along the lines of, okay, what are we doing as a country? Why do we feel like this is the right way to go? And when you point out the irony in a lot of it, I feel like that's the most helpful thing we could do as comedians, not so much attacking.
Yeah, it's not attacking. It's pointing out the hypocrisies, telling people things that they already know, and just reframing it for them.
The one image that I always have in my head when I think about this stuff is you're just reflecting the mirror back at society.
Yeah, that's
like,
really,
hey, this is what you look like and you look dumb, let's laugh at it.
Yes, exactly. And we're all in this together. You can't really, if we're shitting on one thing, I'm not off limits either. Like, if I'm saying anything bad, I'm gonna tell a joke that's bad about me right after that. So I'm not exempt.
When you first got into comedy, did you know what you were doing?
I know how to tell a joke.
Sure.
That was it.
Like, how old were you the first time you started? You're 32 now, right?
Yeah, I turned 32 next month.
Okay, well, happy birthday.
Thank you, man.
How old were you the first time you got on stage?
The first time I got on stage, I was in 7th grade. That was just an open mic, though. But when I really, really got on stage, I was 16. And that was in South Carolina. But once again, I really don't count starting comedy until I moved to New York.
Okay, well,
I was 18.
Okay, you started comedy when you moved to New York at 18, but you had a few experiences where I love to use the term, you dabbled.
No, you know what's funny? I was a comic by the time I moved to New York. Right? Like, okay, in high school, right. In high school, I was doing comedy in South Carolina in a small market. So okay. I was doing the bar shows and going and, you know, doing the bar show and making the $250, the little, you know, instead of working the part-time job at McDonald's. I quit GameStop, and the last 6 months of high school, I was pretty much a comic. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're 18, go from 16 to 18, you're doing whatever you can to do comedy. You fell in love with it that quick? Did you know it was what you wanted to do when you were like in high school?
Yeah, I grew up with brothers in comedy, so I really got to watch comedy in comedy clubs for a while and hear all the comedy club stories. So I was like, yeah, that looks fire. And it's also that time when you're in high school and everyone's like, you better find a craft. You better find something you want to do for the rest of your life. If you don't know what you want to do for the rest of your life. And I was just like, damn, I got to figure out something I want to do.
If both of your brothers worked at the car plant, is that where you would have gone?
I don't know what it would have. I always knew I wanted to be an entertainer, that's for sure. I always knew I wanted to entertain. And maybe music might have been a thing, but nah, I think comedy was always the shit.
So I have to ask you this question. I'm very curious about your parents because, you know, not for nothing, they raised like three comedy juggernauts, like three very, very funny performers. Were your parents like Tiger Woods' dad? Did they put a microphone in your crib when you were a baby? What were they doing? Were they making you do a tight five before you go to bed at night? What were they doing?
Well, my mom is hilarious. My mom's hilarious.
Okay.
Like, that's number one. But mom's hilarious. I also want to say I am the youngest of my family. I'm also the only half brother. I have a different father from the rest of my family.
Okay.
We all have the same father, you know, in spirit. I just, you know, genetically, I'm just different. Okay. But I grew up with my mom, and just everyone already had these things ingrained in them. Like, just the jokes of the house were already ingrained in everyone. So sometimes what's crazy is when I listen to Chris's first specials, I'm just like, yo, this is just everything y'all ever taught me about life. Like, these are just the lessons that y'all have been telling me my whole life in joke form.
Okay.
So I really just think the ideologies of the house formed just very funny outlooks on the world.
Well, I've heard you describe, you know, watching your brothers do stand up as the blueprint, not the inspiration.
Yes.
Now, that's interesting because I know that I get to spend every Friday morning in here talking to some of the greatest comedians in the world and picking their brains about what makes them good at joke writing, their approach, their style. Did you even know to do that with your brothers? Did you just pick everything up by osmosis?
Yeah, that's the fun. You know what's funny? It's kind of osmosis for sure. I talk to them about it, but I don't. Like, I'm not. I kind of like figuring it out. If I suck, they would talk to me more. That's how I look like. If I was doing a bad job, like a really bad job, they would have already sat me down.
They're the big listen. You can't go embarrass the family like that.
Yeah, they would have. If I was doing a bad job, they would have already pulled me to the side. So the fact that they don't pull me to the side, I'm like, all right, something's going decent.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not doing a bad job. Again, I saw your set last night. It was killer, man.
Yeah.
For those of you folks who are watching right now, remember, you get your tickets right now at carlsoncomedy.com. There are four more shows tonight, 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock tonight. 7 and 9 tomorrow, and the text line is open for your questions, 585-484-0265. So, you grew up in a house kind of separated from your brothers. I mean, did you all live in the same house together? I mean,
no, like, I grew up,
did you grow up kind of like an only child?
I grew up, it was me, when I was born, I was the last, it was like the four of us were in the house. It was my brother Brian, Kenny, my sister, and me.
So you're the youngest of seven, right?
Yeah, I'm the youngest of seven. So the other three are out the house. My brother Brian is going to college. When I'm around like three, when we moved to South Carolina from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Brother Brian goes to college. My brother Kenny graduates high school probably in 96. My sister graduates college. No, graduates high school in about 2004. And then from middle school, which is like 7th to 12th grade, I was pretty much in the crib by myself.
Okay. So you're sitting there and you're in high school and your siblings are pretty successful doing comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that like? How does that make you feel? Like you, I mean, did it
Spring Break
almost put
was lit.
pressure on you to like do it?
No, Spring Break was lit, though. Spring Break was the shit. I would always go with Tone to I'll call Tony immediately for spring break and go to that's really what got me into comedy. I remember going that's where I did comedy for the first time is on the road with Tony in
Really?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Did he like coach you up on, hey, do this to
No, I
get your
just
spot?
no, I came to hang out with him for the weekend of spring break. He's in Jacksonville, Florida. I just want to hang out with my brother for a week. You know, he's like, I'm on the road, come hang out. I'm a kid. We can't really do anything. We're just in the hotel.
Yeah.
But I'm watching him do the shows. We're waking up at like noon, eating French fries for breakfast. And at the end of the week, he got a check. I'm like, yo, this is the craziest life I've ever seen in my I've ever
Yeah,
experienced.
but you know, it seems great when you're a kid,
Yeah,
and now
exactly.
you're living it.
Yeah, now I'm living it. Now I'm like, I gotta get my shit
Do you ever
together.
want to go back, like talk to you as a kid, and be like, hey, maybe this isn't the road?
Never. I
Okay.
never. The only thing I would do differently, I would go to college.
Okay.
Not for educational reasons either.
For the fun.
No. For manipulative
For the crippling
purposes.
debt for the
No,
future.
for manipulative purposes.
Okay, I'm listening.
If I knew, first off, if I knew that 3 years would have banged by so fast when I was in 9th grade, I probably would have went to college.
Okay.
And then also, it's just like, yeah, manipulative purposes. If I knew that if I just held this piece of paper up and was like, I went to that school, yeah, respect me, I would just be going crazy. And then everybody would be like, I went to school with him, and we'd be lit.
Jordan, those reasons are overrated.
Yeah.
I think those reasons are overrated. And I say that because I know a lot of people who hold up their college degrees and people laugh at them.
Yeah.
The reaction that a comedian would want.
I know, but also I know a lot of people. I know also the way too many people that I'm like, how do you know these people? And they're like, we went to school together. I'm like, you went to school with people you like? You went to school with people you still talk to? This is crazy. We grew up together. You still talk to people from high school? This is insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, now here you are. I mean, you're in your 30s, you're traveling the country, you're headlining clubs.
Yeah.
You've met the goal, it feels like.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
It's good. I'm not, like right now I constantly have to tell myself this is success. So I chill.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm chilling. I know soon maybe something will happen and it'll go over the top. Maybe we
Yeah.
might go back like, but right now I'm chilling.
So, I gotta ask you, man, you've had a lot of success in acting. How did you end up pivoting from stand up into like the acting world?
Yo, I thought they were all the same. I had no idea they had nothing to do with each other.
Okay. The director must have been really surprised when you started doing a 5-minute set for
Yeah,
your first scene.
I was just that's what my brother tells me. Brother Chris tells me all the time. He's like, "Yo, we're not actors." He's like, "But be so good at comedy that they put you in stuff." That's what he told me.
You
So
know, yeah.
he's like, "I'm
Yeah.
not an actor." He's like, "I'm just so funny. They allow me to do other things."
That's
So
really funny.
yeah, I don't know how it happened. I did not. What really happened is I didn't go to LA. Like I went to New York. I hid out in New York for years, just doing open mics, doing sets, becoming a stand-up. I didn't really, post too much. And by the time I got to LA, got proper people behind me and went to LA, I was kind of, I was seasoned a little bit. I
Yeah.
kind of just knew. I had chops. I wasn't the
Yeah.
best, but I had chops.
Well, they say that success is where preparation and opportunity meet.
Yeah.
And it seems like you spent a lot of time getting ready.
Yeah. So yeah, it just worked out, man. I was blessed.
Yeah. I just gotta say though, like the idea of acting versus stand up, they are not the same.
They're not. They're
They're not the same at all.
not. I learned that acting. They're not the same. I will say the difference between stand up and acting. Stand up is all you, and when you tell a joke, you get laughs immediately. Acting is not you. You have to be aware of the whole story that's going on. And yeah, you can't think of anything else. Like, you can't, you really have to just commit to that character. I learned that doing acting. I learned that doing Love. In the first season of Love, I improv a lot. So, like, they let me improv, and it fit the story perfectly. So now I'm a part of this. Now, like, you know, my character's input is a part of the story.
Sure.
Second season, they're like, all right, improv. They don't even write things for me. They're like, improv. But I kind of like, I kind of forget how much of what the story is, and I'm doing all these racial jokes. I got so much cut out of season two because I just wasn't paying attention
into
to like
the
story.
Zone of the story.
Yeah.
So to me, what appears to be the challenge of acting, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, is I know performing stand-up, I know what I'm going to say next. I'm watching the audience. I understand that they're paying attention to what I'm saying. Acting is, I need to be the one listening to everybody else.
Yes, I need to be.
And still know what I'm going to say in the exact way that I'm supposed to say it.
Yeah, and I should probably have read the episode before this and maybe the episode after this. Like, I need to know what is going on.
Where is this going?
Yeah,
it's
I
really
need to
important.
Know where this is going. That's the weirdest thing about LA, like, about acting sometimes is, and especially as a new actor coming up, they just send you the sides.
Really?
Yeah, they don't send you the strip. They send you the sides. So it's just like, all right, it's a scene, and you have to kind of figure out what the fuck is going on. And you got a log line, two scenes, and you have to figure out all the emotions going on.
You know, I don't feel like most people sit there and think about how a television show is made. When you sit down and you watch a TV show, folks, how many different scenes are there? There are so many different scenes that are just interplayed to work together, obviously, to make a whole story. And when all you see is with the so-and-so is in the scene is based in a cafe. There's three people there. There's a waiter, the girl, and you. You got to figure, and there's no script.
Yeah, sometimes you forget all the things that even got them there.
Yeah, it's like you have to figure, oh, man, how do you do it? What's the trick?
For me? I don't know. It's a job, really. It's really when I love booking shit. When I'm like the audition, I'm like, oh man, I don't know. I don't know. If they say I got it, I'm like, okay, so it's good. So I could just go now.
Well, you're doing a lot of writing too, right?
Yeah. I feel like I'm trying to get over the writer's hump right now.
Okay. What does getting over the hump look like to you?
Getting over the writer's hump, I just want to sell something, get a created credit, or go into a writer's room. I want to have a TV show go off and it say written by Jordan Rock. That's
the goal.
Yeah, that's the goal.
I love that.
Or staff writer, Jordan Rock. I just want to get over there. But, you know, since I did so much on-screen stuff, it's like people know me as a stand-up. People know me as an actor. I now have to introduce them to me as a writer.
Well, you are doing that in stand-up.
Yeah.
You're just marrying two mediums.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to tie the knot on all this stuff.
That's really interesting. I'm happy for you, man. I feel like there's going to be a lot of success in your future.
Thank you, man.
You're welcome. Jordan, I like to ask all the comedians that come through this question because we do have a lot of stand-ups or young stand-ups that watch the show that, you know, are just looking for some basic advice. And you've been performing since you were 16 years old, we know now. You're 32 years old now.
Yeah.
You've been performing stand-up as long as you were alive.
Damn.
From when you started. So here you are. It's half your life.
Yes.
Now, if you had to go back, knowing everything that you know now about the business, stage presence, everything that you know now, and you had to start from scratch, you know it all, but you've never been on stage. You've never done any of it.
Well, I know it all.
But you know it all. Where do you start?
I would do the Andrew Schultz before Andrew Schultz.
You would go in and steal the Andrew Schultz move.
I would just do Andrew Schultz is the reason comedy is the way it is today.
You're not wrong. Yeah. I've had Andrew on the show. We talked about it.
So I would just have done that before him.
Okay.
Like I would have just been like, all right, we're gonna go broke, but I know this is gonna pay off if I knew it.
That's very interesting. You know, that's almost like being the guy who's going to write the Beatles songs before the Beatles. But okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, because I do. You know, the thing is, I would say like, yo, that'd be great to do that. And then like, I saw him do it. I was like, God damn it! Like, I was like, damn, I legit tossed that out into like the ether and never did that.
All right. How do you feel like touring's affecting your relationships? Is it making them better? Is it making it worse? Is it good for you?
What, my personal relationships?
Yeah.
Right now, this is the best time. I think now I know how to go on the road. Before, I didn't know how to go on the road, so I used the road as an excuse to not have relationships.
Okay.
Like, oh man, I don't know if we're gonna, if I can plan that. I'm on the road, babe. Like,
but, it's still a good excuse to have in the back pocket.
Yeah, it is a great excuse. But
I've gotten out of some birthday parties.
Now I like. Now it's not as bad. I get to. It's availabilities. I kind of know how to time manage. This is one of the rare shows that I'm not on. It's one of the rare road dates where I'm not with anybody.
Yeah.
I try to bring my friends with me now. I don't really like being on the road by myself.
Sure.
When I'm on the road by myself, sometimes it just doesn't feel as productive. When you're with your friends, you can actually build. When right. you're by yourself, you're kind of just...
It's nice to have friends to bounce stuff off of, yeah, too, because, trying new stuff. And
yeah, when you're on the road by yourself, you can't really get off stage and go to the host like, so you heard that bit I did, right? You can't just go talk to the feature about you.
Yeah, that's true. It does get weird that way.
Yeah, so if your homie's there, you could be like, yo, you heard the second bit. I did it this time like this, and I usually do it. So yeah. It's better when your homies are there.
The feature's not listening to your set.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all.
These days. Folks, four more shows to see Jordan Rock this weekend. You could follow Jordan on Instagram at Jordan Rock. Now, I got to tell you, man, I would feel like Jordan Rock would be a really easy name to get on social media.
It was not.
No, sir. I Googled your website.
Yeah.
And there's a website, like jordanrock.com, is for a Christian rock band.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised. I was like, I did not expect this to be the act.
It was not hard. It was not easy to get the at, man. It was JordanRock843. My Twitter is still JordanRock843. I was JordanRock843 for the longest. It was a dude sitting on Jordan Rock for the longest. He had one picture. It was him and taking it was like a selfie and a faded Miami Heat jersey and like a dirty bathroom mirror. This guy was sitting on this account for years. I would make different accounts just to flag him. I would be like, God, every show I would be like, guys, can you please flag him? Like, I need this guy off of Jordan Rock.
And the dude's like, hasn't tweeted.
Hasn't been on this thing.
Probably in jail.
Yo,
I'm
online. I'm messaging him like, bro, please let me get this handle. I'll hold us down.
The guy could be in Afghanistan, dead, in prison, anywhere in the world.
We don't know where
Jordan's
this guy
just
is.
Flagging him.
And then this is really where it got messed up. He finally gets deleted. I'm in the midst of this. JordanRock843 gets verified.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my Instagram does get verified finally. And, that was another thing I would fight for, because two things on Instagram that used to fuck me up. The numbers.
Okay.
The 843, because people would see the 843 and be like, ah, it's a fake. And it wouldn't be verified. So sure. They're like, yeah, whatever. So I wasn't getting the proper engagement. I finally got the blue check. And then once the dude got off of my handle, I couldn't switch because I was verified. So I had to go through a whole nother thing of getting the name
you
once
got
it was gone.
Now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I finally got it. So I'm easy to find. No one will ever say they can't remember my Instagram. It is me.
At Jordan Rock, folks. And I'm going to tell you, check out Jordan on Netflix. There's lots of great stuff. He's done so many good things, great films.
Love on Netflix. The After Party on Netflix. Take the 10 on Netflix. Pete Davidson presents The Best Friends. Yeah.
Watch those things. But not tonight. Come see the real article in person here at Comedy at the Carlson. Jordan, thank you so much. Is there anything you want to plug that's coming out?
Bupkis is coming out in the fall on Peacock. And comedy album in probably late 2023.
Amazing. Finally. Is this going to be your first album?
This is going to be the first album.
Very cool. And are you working on some of the stuff for it now?
Yes.
That's even more reason to come out here. Check out some of the stuff he's working on, folks. We will be back next week with a great show with Natalie Cuomo.
Oh, just call me.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And Jordan, you're the man. Thank you so much. Continued success.
Same
and,
with you.
And Rochester, we'll see you at the show. Take it easy. Now I got to remember how to get out of here. I really need a producer. I wasn't kidding about that. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram @CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Right